Well, the series is called The Good Life. It's about how we find our way to the life that God intended when he placed us here on earth, and that life and what it looks like. And last week, Brent did a great job at giving us a challenge and a reminder that the path to the good life, it starts in our own hearts. What does God do in our hearts? And this week, we're going to take another step. We're going to talk about the most churchy of topics. If you ever come to church, if this is your first time joining us in church, let me say this to you. You probably won't be surprised to say, well, they may say something about prayer. That's the topic today. We're going to look at that topic. We're going to take some time and look at the most famous passage, maybe the most often quoted passage that there is in all the Bible. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to spend some time in it, and I recognize some of you say, well, I've heard stuff about prayer before, and I want to say this to you, and I don't say this often. I know God wants this message preached. I know it from the depths of my heart. I have laid awake nights the last number of days just waiting for today to preach this. Crossroads, God has a message for you and I today. Today. And I urge you to get your hearts ready to receive it. So we're going to talk about prayer. Let me clear up a couple of things before we get started in the Lord's Prayer, because there are a couple of things you may not, you could miss or lean the wrong direction on. And one of those is this. I want you to know you can pray. You can pray. In Jesus' day, when somebody prayed, they usually thought they had to wear special clothes or have special training or know special words or stand in special places or go to special buildings. But Jesus says you can pray anytime, anywhere, anyone. You can pray. A couple of times he says this in early part of chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. He just looks at those people there, and they were common, ordinary, normal, working people. Most of those, if they needed a prayer prayed, they'd go to somebody to get it prayed. And he looks at them and he says, when you pray, you can pray. You can pray. You don't listen to any voice in your head or heart in this message that says, well, this is a great message on prayer, and I sure hope I come across somebody that knows how to put it into practice. You can pray. But better than that, you should pray. Now, I'm not being hard on us, but you should pray. You say, why should I pray? What good does prayer do? Well, when you pray, God works. Look at this verse from Matthew chapter 7. He says, you're struggling with something, and you're trying to seek it, and you wish you had it, and you're worried over it. But when you pray and ask and keep on asking, well, then God works and you receive what you ask for. And when you're seeking something and you really, really desire it and you wish you could have it, you wonder about it and you lay awake thinking about it, but when you seek in prayer, you activate God and he helps you find it. When you keep knocking in prayer and reaching out to God and knocking and keep knocking, you pray and it makes God work. And the doors are open that only God can open for you to do. When you pray, when I work, I work. But when I pray, God works. When you work. But when you pray, God works. And let me give you an example of that. And I want to talk just a moment about this community we're in, the time of year that we're in. Looks like, from every indication I have, if you're a farmer in this church and you've completed your harvest, we're thankful for every grain you got. We're thankful for the safety God provided you. If you still have some work to do, we pray God's final safety on you as you complete it. But this next illustration is for every farmer here. This is John Deere's X9 Series 1100 model combine. If you can't tell by looking, this is a lean, mean, green, crop-eating machine. This, I am told by the website, with that setup of a 50-foot folding grain head, can harvest 30 acres of wheat in an hour. That container up there where the grain goes in holds 460 bushels. The auger that unloads from that grain bin will unload it at a rate of 5.1 bushels per second. Those 460 bushels can leave that in a little less than 90 seconds. Here's a second picture. This is it with a corn head. It can handle up to 18 rows of corn at once. Right now, there's some farmers in this room here at South Kokomo, and right now some of them are drooling, so you need to wipe. Okay, I understand. This is the best John Deere makes right now. Now I want to ask you a question. Imagine you came across a field of corn that still had not been harvested right now. And you found one of our farmers, just for illustration's sake, let's call him Stan. One of our farmers, and Stan is out along the edge of his field. He's on the ground. He's walking along in the row, and he is pulling the ears off one ear at a time, pulling it from the stalk, pulling back the husk, and taking the grain off of the cob and putting it in a bucket. Moves a bucket along, grabs another ear. Moves a bucket along, grabs another ear. And behind Stan, parked right at the edge of the field, is a John Deere X9 1100. And you pull off, and you say, hey, Stan, what are you doing? I got to get this field done. Rains are coming. Got to get this field done. You say, Stan, the X9's right behind you. Man, if you activate that, it can do so much more than you can do. He said, oh, I know, but I am so busy. I only have about 5 minutes a day to use the X9. The rest of the time, I have to stay busy because I've got to get this done. You say, Stan, if you'd get in there and if you'd really activate all the horsepower, the 630 horsepower, the 330 gallons of fuel that's in it, you could clean this whole field because when you activate that, it will work. When you don't, you're doing it on your own. You get the illustration? When we pray, God works. And that's why Jesus tells us this is how you pray. So I want to show you this. You say, my prayer? Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of omnipotence. Your prayer can activate an omnipotent God. And that's why Jesus said, when you pray, try praying like this. This is from the English Standard Version. Some of you, if you have your Bibles in Matthew 6, it may have a little different wording. I'm going to walk through this with us. Some of these words will be very familiar to some, maybe newer to others. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Some of you may have a version that says sin. Some of you may have a version that says trespasses. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That last section right there, when you read through some versions, it stops at the end of evil. You click on a little box, it says some manuscripts include that. When I was growing up, that's how I learned the prayer. I'm including it for today. Now, Jesus didn't give us this prayer, say, okay, got to memorize this, got to get these words down. If this is how you pray, got to say this word, got to get a good hope, okay, I can remember it. I don't memorize very good. No, you can say this prayer. But this is a guide on how you pray, not necessarily what words you use. These are not magic words, but they are magic bases to touch, if you will. They are important aspects of how we pray, and the God of heaven works. And it starts with this. We pray in relationship. Our Father who is in heaven. God is our Father. If we'd have been on that hillside when Jesus preached this sermon, I promise you, the people would have said, what? You are telling me we can't even write the name of God. We have to skip some of the letters because God's name can't even be uttered. We can't even, he is seen as so high and far away, we have to go to the base of a mountain sometimes and pray to him as if he's at the top of it. We have to trust that the high priest goes into the temple once a year and he's the only one that can pray for him, and we actually have to tie a rope around his ankle in case he commits a sin and dies while he's in there, because we'd have to drag him out. None of us can go in. What are you saying? And Jesus says, yes, he's high. Yes, he's lifted up. Yes, he's holy. Yes, he's the omnipotent God of the universe. And Jesus says, I call him Dad. And you can too. He's our Father. And when I read that this time through, I thought of this. I want to show you a picture. Two pictures, actually. This is a picture on this side of a guy named Paul Smith, lived in Oakland, Illinois. I recognize that house. This little guy that he's holding up a little bit, that's having trouble keeping his head kind of on a tilt there, that would be me. Okay? That's my dad. That's my dad late in life. For 56 years, I called this guy Dad. My mom told me that the first word that came out of my mouth when I learned how to talk was Dada. I spent my adult life not living around my dad. God called me to another place. I saw him not enough, but I would pick up the phone and call him for anything. And every time I called, I could just see that face. I could see that recliner. Right beside the recliner, he had the three things that every good Christian farmer should have. He had a copy of the Farm Journal magazine. He had a copy of his Sunday School Quarterly, and he had the TV remote. And I knew it was there. I could see the recliner, see his face, and I would call and talk to Dad about good things, call and talk to Dad about bad things. I've called Dad before and cried. I've called Dad before and rejoiced. I called and told him about the birth of each of our kids, and all sorts of other wonderful things. He was Dad. And I just talked to him as Dad. And Jesus says, you can do that with your Heavenly Father. You pray in relationship. You're just talking to Dad. Several years ago, my dad, in the last years of his life, went to Florida in the winter, like some of you do, and some actually are getting ready to go right now. Went to Florida in the winter, stayed in a winter park down there with his RV, and had a couple of good friends that moved in next to them. They'd always connect during that time and so on. And one year I flew down to drive Dad's RV back, and I met those friends. And when I met the wife of the couple that had lived beside them, had developed a close relationship, when I walked up, she throws her arms around me, gives me this big hug. This was pre-COVID. She gave me this big hug, and she said, you, I am so excited to meet you. You are one of the two most blessed men on earth. And I said, I'd agree I'm blessed, but why would you say that I'm one of the two most blessed men on earth? She said, you and your brother get the opportunity and the right to call Paul Smith Dad. She was so impressed with my dad, and she said, you get to call him Dad. You get to talk to him in any way. Listen to me, church. Jesus is saying, you can talk to him. He's your Heavenly Father. You talk to him just like, and some of you say, I don't like mine. When you say the word dad, I don't have a good memory, Dad. My dad wasn't good to me. My dad left early. Maybe some bad. You may, when the word dad is said, you may have all sorts of bad memories and feelings. Hear this. What was true about your earthly dad is not true about your Heavenly Father. Your earthly dad may have bailed. Your Heavenly Father will stand right beside you all the way to the end. Your earthly dad may not have been kind. Your Heavenly Father is full of kindness. Please understand, we pray in relationship. We look and say, our Father who is in heaven. We also pray, not just that, in submission. God is in charge. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whenever there's two people anywhere, two individuals in a conversation, Both of them can't be in charge. One has to be in charge. That just makes sense, right? And guess what? When you and God talk, the one that is in charge is not you. Oh, you come to him and you say, I want to pour my heart out to you. I want to tell you what I need. I want to talk about the desires that I have. I want to give this you everything that's on my heart. I want to make clear to you. I want to keep knocking. I want to keep seeking. I want to keep... But you start by saying, but it's your will that has to be triumphed here. It's your kingdom that has to come. And it's even true in the way we pray. Most people, when they pray, bow their heads. Even hear that said, bow your heads, we're going to pray. Some folks, and when I was growing up, this was very common. They would do this. Some folks even would do this. I've even seen folks do this. And you say, what kind of deal is that? It's because their body is trying to reflect to their heart that they're in a presence of somebody who is greater than them. So you pray and you say, God, you're in charge. I'm going to tell you what I need. I'm going to tell you that my life's a mess and I sure need some things, but I want your will more than my will. I want your desires more than my desires. You pray in submission. And then it says, give us this day our daily bread. We pray out of need, declaring God to be our source. Probably that phrase, give us this day our daily bread, is one of the hardest ones for most of us that are listening here to understand. Because most of us, when we got up this morning, were not worried whether we had something to eat today. In Jesus' time and then the people he was talking to, those folks understood hunger. You want to talk about food insecurity? They understood it. They understood the times where they'd say, I wonder where the next meal is coming from. And he said, why don't you look to your Heavenly Father as the source? Ask your dad for what you need. Wednesday of this week, I was at a prayer meeting with some other pastors that has been going on weekly for 20 years. For 20 years, pastors of various ones have met together. I've only been part of it for the last six. And they gather together, they have a short devotional, and then they start by reciting the Lord's Prayer, as I read to you a few minutes ago. So I went on Wednesday, and we were sitting there, and the Lord's Prayer had been recited. We declared Jesus to be Lord over Howard County, and I'm in the process of listening to some of them pray, and then I jumped in and was praying a little bit, and as I was praying, I'd put my phone on vibrate, and my phone started vibrating, and I opened one eye, and I looked, and I saw it was my daughter, and being a good dad, I ignored her, so I kept on praying, and she calls immediately again, and I silence it again, and she calls a third time, and I silence it again, and as she calls the fourth time, I'd completed my prayer, and I excuse myself quietly out of the room. I get out of the room and I answer the phone, and being a good, loving, like my Heavenly Father dad, I said, what? What are you calling about? She told me it was serious, it was urgent, and it was important. I left the prayer meeting, jumped in the car, drove to where she was. And when I got there and she's describing what had gone on, she said, I got right in the middle of this. She said, I started to freak out. And then I thought, I got to call Dad. 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 She said, because I needed you. And Jesus says, when we pray, you got to be saying, I got to talk to Dad. I got to talk to Dad. I need him. I need him for this. I got to talk to Dad. I'm in need. And I can only count on my source being the Heavenly Father that has adopted me into his family. I try every day to pray this prayer as I start and to pray this prayer at the end of every day. God, I'm telling you, you're my source. When I get up tomorrow, you'll still be my source. We pray out of need. Let me say this to you. 3 weeks ago tonight, at the end of a very long Sunday, I got home, and late in the evening, I have one brother, younger, And he texted me and he said, got some test results back. Me and my wife are both positive for COVID. And that concerned me, but he was younger than I am. He was healthy. He was what I would consider not terribly at risk. Prayed for him, asked to keep me posted. I kept texting with him during the week, talked to him once, watching his health go down by the messages he was giving me. 2 weeks ago tonight, he texted me and said, had a nurse here to examine me. She thinks I need to go to the hospital, and she thinks they'll keep me. And something inside of me just, Lisa and I prayed. I made it known to people that I knew that cared about me that they prayed, and we went to the source. You say, what doctor? Yeah, I don't know, never knew the name of the doctor. What kind of medicine did he use? I don't know. I do know this. I talked to him 2 nights ago. I texted him, and he called me. And he said, this is the first time during the last 2 weeks that I felt I had enough air to actually speak to you. He said, I think I'm going to make it. And I will tell you, when I was praying, I wasn't just saying a prayer. I wasn't just saying some words. I was saying, my heavenly Father, I've only got one brother, and I'm asking you to do what you have to take care of him. You're the source. And praise God, he did. And praise God, he's going to be all right. You pray out of need. You pray out of weakness. God is our strength. Doesn't make sense, does it? Man, if I was real strong, I'd pray a lot. Actually, if you're real strong, you probably pray less. You tend to pray when you feel weaker. The heart that prays is the heart that is painfully aware that it's human, that it's weak, and that without God's help, that heart knows it can't do hardly anything. Let me tell you a little secret. Brent was up here leading us in a time of prayer. I've worked with Brent for a long time. I'm going to share something with you. I don't want you to make fun of me. Brent's human. Brent is human. He's weak. And he's helpless without God's strength. You say, well, that sounds pretty harsh. Let me tell you. I am as human as it gets. You spend any time around me, I'll demonstrate how human I am. I'm weak. I'm prone to sin. I can mess things up. And I am absolutely helpless without the strength that only God can supply. And I don't care who it is, worship team, elders, speakers, anybody in your life, when you look and say, well, they're so strong, they probably don't even need God. You couldn't be more wrong. We pray out of weakness, so we say, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Somebody that is human and weak knows that you need God's forgiveness and you need his strength to seek it. When was the last time you got on your knees before God and just simply confessed, God, I need your forgiveness? Somebody that's human and weak knows that others do things to us and our heart can react in bitterness and judgment and lashback and condemnation. God, help us to forgive others because they've done wrong against me. I love the word in one version where it talks about trespass and the idea that you trespass against us, the idea of crossing a line. We cross a line with God. Some people cross a line with us. Forgiven people need to forgive, and that's what we do because we're weak. We need his strength to do it. And then, lead us not into temptation. Do you realize that there is a tempter that tempts you? If you don't, you're already falling to it. Do you realize this? We got a guy in our church that has a wonderful ministry, fits his own passions and desires, and his name's Bob Moore. Bob goes out and fishes every body of water I think that there is in the state of Indiana and beyond. He posts it on social media. He has a ministry where other fishermen talk to him, and he prays for them, counsels that it's a cool thing. But I've talked to him some about it. I've seen his pictures. He's just so active there. And Big Bob Moore has a box full of lures and means to try to attract the fish. He figures out what it is. He casts that sucker out there. He figures what speed to do it, or maybe to twitch it a little bit. And that fish is down there, and that fish is saying, I know what that is. That's not good. I'm going to resist that. I'm not going to get that. And then about the time that Bob uses his expertise, pretty soon that fish grabs that lure, and Bob reels him in. Satan wants, he's out there, he's at that temptation. He's just waiting for you to, and then he wants to reel you in. Jesus says, pray to your heavenly Father and pray that he helps you to have his strength to resist temptation and deliver us from evil. The fact that there's an enemy, Satan, who the Bible describes later like a roaring lion. He seeks who he can may devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to hurt your home. He wants to break up your marriage. He wants to wreck your kids. He wants to do so many things. And you say, well, I'll stand against him. You'll not succeed. You're human. You're weak. You have to know that you seek the strength. We pray out of weakness and we say, God, help us. Heavenly Father, help me. Because without your help, the evil one will get me. When we recognize we're weak, we pray to the one who can make us strong. And then the last statement is this. We pray in faith. God's got this. I tagged that coda onto the end of the prayer that some manuscripts, some versions use. Yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Hear me. Let's be honest. Our world's a mess. It's a mess. Our country is a mess. Our culture is a mess. I stood last night. We're doing a small remodel project at our house, remodeling a bedroom. And I had our garage a few months ago just so totally clean and everything in its place and where you could find stuff, lots of extra room. And I stood last night looking at our garage. And it's full of debris and building materials and furniture we've moved out and all this stuff. And I looked at it and I said, God, this garage is a mess. And to be honest, I looked at it and thought, I'm a little discouraged. I don't know how long it's going to take to get it back to where it should be. You may feel that way about the world. You may feel that way about your personal world. You may say, my world's a mess. My world's falling apart. You may be discouraged about the way things are. You may be fearful about what's ahead. Know this. God's got this. Crossroads, God spoke to me a few weeks ago, and he said, look, transition in leadership during COVID. How much worse can it get? And God says, listen, I got this. Stop owning it. Stop trying to take it on your own shoulders. I got this. You know I do. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We had a man that was a major Christian speaker in the last half of the 20th century named Billy Graham. Many of you may know that name. Some of you perhaps do not. Used to do a lot of speaking in outdoor arenas and other settings in big cities. And we've got a clip. God's Got This wasn't in his vernacular. But we've got a clip where he addresses this in a way that I want you to hear before we close our time with a time of prayer. So check it out.
Habakkuk said, Lord, please tell me what you're doing. And God said, no, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk, because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it. Don't you think God's given up and God's abdicated and God's left the throne? He hasn't. He's still on the throne. And those of us that know him put our trust in him and him alone. I don't put my trust in Washington. I don't put my trust in the United Nations. I don't put my trust in myself. I don't put trust in my money. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the rest of it fails and crumbles and shatters, he'll be there.
God's got this. We're going to close this service giving you the chance to, by faith, make that as a declaration. I'm going to ask something that is a big request. In just a moment, I'm going to ask everybody here at South Kokomo, if you physically can, I'm going to ask you to kneel as we close this service. Those of you in North Kokomo, up there in the community room at the Y, I'm going to ask every one of you that's watching me on that screen right now, when I tell you in a moment, I'm going to ask you there to do what we're going to do here. That's to kneel in submission to the one that's really in charge. Those of you join us online, whether you're in a living room or a hotel room or maybe at a beach or wherever you are, no one will ever know. I'll not know. We don't have a two-way camera, but I am asking you, I am urging you to join us together as one group, one bunch, our Father. I'm going to join us together, and we're going to kneel together, and we're going to walk through the Lord's Prayer. I want to guide you in it, okay? So work with me. If you feel like it, if you can physically do it, if you're willing to do it right now, everywhere, let's go to our knees. And I'm going to guide us through the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to say a few words at a time, and then you can choose the Lord's words or your own words to pray as Jesus guided us to pray. The first words he said were, "Our Father who is in heaven, whose name is holy, I urge you right now, speak to your heavenly Father, speak to your dad. Take a moment and call out to him in the relationship of as your Father." Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as I know it is in heaven. Right now, declare your submission to your heavenly Father. Declare his will more important than yours, his kingdom more important than what you control. Submit to your heavenly Father right now. Give us this day our daily bread. Telling your needs. Some of you have needs that are so hard to carry. Give them to your heavenly Father right now. Pray out of need. Declare them to him. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Right now, seek God's forgiveness if you need to. You may have tuned in here today and you didn't know anything about God. God wasn't your Father when you started watching, but you're hearing his voice now. Ask him to forgive you right now. All of us. Ask God to reveal anyone we need to forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Whatever temptation you're fighting, whatever Satan is throwing at you right now, out of weakness, seek God's strength. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God knows that he has this. Tell yourself and tell God that you do too. Tell him that you know God's got this. Pray in faith. Close the prayer in just a moment by saying the word amen together. So no matter which campus you're at, no matter if you're online, at the count of three, we will say this word, sealing this prayer. One, two, three, amen.